Time to join Joan Lewis, EWTN's Bureau Chief here in Rome, who's about to bring us the Vatican Week in review. So, Joan, we're getting to another weekend, but let's speak about the previous one, shall we?
Oh, it was really, really amazing. The patrons of the Arts of the Vatican Museums had a week-long stay in Rome, and I'm a patron and only participated in the actual Saturday and Sunday events, but it's a group of 350 people, and for the Saturday events, there was an audience with the Pope in the morning, and when the Pope came in, he gave a talk. He was supposed to meet maybe 40 or 50 of the heads of the various chapters around the world. Father Mark Haidu, who heads the patrons, Cardinal Bertello of Vatican City State was there. So the Pope met a certain number of people. Then he said, you know, I want to meet everybody. Some of the highlights of special activities like this are Vespers in the Sistine Chapel. I mean, that immense entire work of art was made to be for liturgy. It was a chapel, Mass, Vespers. And so Archbishop Ganschwein, who's Pope Benedict's private secretary and also heads the prefecture of the papal household, did the Vespers. And then Sunday Mass in St. Peter's at the altar of the chair, and I have to say I was blessed to have been one of the readers. So it was a very big weekend in that respect. And then Sunday was the opening act, if you will, of a two-day event called Believers in Sports. And that was sponsored by the Pontifical Council for Culture. Cardinal Ravasi is the head of that. And there was actually like a 100-meter race for the faith on Sunday. And Via della Conciliazione, I'm sure our listeners know that broad street that goes up to St. Peter's Square and Basilica, that was laid out kind of a carpet or something to look exactly like a racetrack for runners. And you had 5,000 people of all ages, able-bodied and disabled, from 4 years old to senior citizens to nuns, you name it. And they all raced, and everybody kind of at a certain point had to pass the baton over to somebody else. And I don't think Cardinal Ravasi raced, but several others in his council raced. And what's very interesting, because then Monday there was the day-long conference at the Council for Culture on sports and bringing together athletes, including disabled athletes. There's a married couple. He's in a wheelchair. He won a gold medal in the Olympics in London. And his wife, who does not have her right leg, she has that like blade runner for running only. And then she has, if you were just see her walk down the street with a pair of slacks, there's no way you would know she didn't have a leg. And she competed and won a silver medal. So it was an amazing day Sunday, and even more so because I have to say a friend of mine, also my house guest at that time, who was invited to the conference, her husband's an NFL, National Football League coach in America with the Denver Broncos, and she got a regulation NFL football, had it signed by the staff, coaching staff, and the team members, and actually gave it to the Holy Father. Because Cardinal Ravasi had said to the Holy Father, I'd like these 30 people to meet you. Is there any time? And he had said, well, come to the Santa Marta after the Angelus on Sunday. And so he met the whole group. Linda gave her camera to a friend who took a photo of her giving the ball to the Holy Father, who apparently we know that Pope Francis is, always was, a big soccer fan. Of course, a soccer ball is round, as I'm sure 90% of the balls on Earth, and an American football is, you know, oval-shaped. So he was kind of curious as to how you could kick a ball that had this shape. So a busy, busy weekend for, you know, big numbers of people. And obviously the race attracted a lot of people, as this weekend will happen with the meeting for families who are already setting up big screens on Via della Conciliazione. But just to go back for a minute to the Angelus, the Holy Father, of course, as he always does, reflected on the gospel story. And this was the parable of the widow who persists with a dishonest judge, as a matter of fact, and she manages to obtain justice from him. And basically what the Holy Father was saying was the need to pray, because she had prayed for a long time. And anyway, we must pray because God listens to us. Maybe not always the way we want, but he does. And then the Pope did mention at the end of the Angelus that it was World Missionary Day and spoke at length of the people who give their lives to the missions. And then, of course, he briefly addressed the 5,000 athletes who had run the 100 meters for faith and said, "Thank you for what you've done, because you remind us that believers are spiritual athletes." And of course, St. Paul uses the image of sports and athletes a lot. So that was the weekend, and then the week.
An unusual weekend.
Oh, yes, it really, really was. And if you're in or around St. Peter's Square on a weekend, I mean, talk to store owners, talk to restaurant owners. It is just phenomenal. And if people can't find a place to eat, what they really should do is aim for someplace 6 blocks away. You know, not one block from St. Peter's Square. Then Monday was the beginning of a hugely important week for a number of events. For the United States, their new ambassador, Ken Hackett, presented his letters of credence to the Holy Father. And, of course, he was with Catholic Relief Services for 40 years, has an amazing background of working with and knowing church people. So it ought to be a very interesting relationship, obviously, always is, between the U.S. and the Holy See. And then Monday, the Holy Father had a meeting with a Lutheran group, a committee meeting between Lutherans and Catholics. And Tuesday was very, very important, not for a papal document, but Tuesday, by the way, was, of course, October 22nd. So that was the liturgical memory of Blessed John Paul. It will be the last one, because then, you know, next time, of course, he will be a saint. Exactly. And they'll give us a feast day then for that. But on Tuesday, the prefect of the Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith, Archbishop Gerhard Müller, published an article in the Vatican paper which talked about the issue of remarriage and the reception of sacraments. So Catholics who, should we say, got a divorce and were civilly remarried, they wouldn't get a divorce, I mean, in the Catholic Church, but they got what they call a divorce. They're civilly remarried, and they still want to go and receive the sacraments. And actually, what this article did was quite lengthy, 4,900 words, and in essence, what the Archbishop said, he began by reaffirming the Church's constant teaching that marriage is indissoluble and that this is testified to in Scripture and tradition. He also acknowledged the misunderstandings over the meaning of marriage, and he said it's leading to more marriages becoming invalid than in previous times. He said he knows the Church's teaching is not an easy one, that these divorced and so-called remarried, civilly remarried people can't receive the sacraments. He said those are divorced and remarried should know they're not alone, and that the Church has to find ways to accompany these people. So I think Archbishop Müller, of course, obviously with the approval of the Holy Father, we must say, he saw the need to put out, to clarify it, right. So people thought this would come up next year at the Synod for Families, and so the statement was made well in advance and very, very clearly. And as actually speaking of Germany, then we have to move forward a day, because on Wednesday a statement came out of the press office. There have been a whole bunch of stories out of the Diocese of Limburg, Germany, about the Bishop Franz Peter Tebartz von Els, who has a scandal of like $30 million spending on renovating the residency and some diocesan buildings near where he lived. And just, I mean, money, the figures that have come out for the expensive fixtures in the house, a bathtub that most people could probably buy a house for that kind of money. Anyway, he did come to Rome. The Pope talked to him. And guess what Pope Francis did? He removed him from his ministry. At least he's suspended. So that implies temporary. And then he appointed there is a vicar who will, the city dean Wolfgang Roche will serve as the vicar general for the diocese. So they're looking into that and you know, what will be done precisely in that case, I don't know.
That takes us to Wednesday.
Oh, I know. Wednesday, right. This is all actually on Wednesday, the general audience, the catechesis on Mary as the mother of the Church. And, of course, the Pope made, as he always does with whatever he's saying, he makes three distinct points in the in the catechesis. But perhaps one of the most interesting things about Wednesday was the Pope's meeting before the general audience. He received 200 participants in the National Congress of Italian Prison Chaplains. And they have an annual meeting. They were in Rome for that meeting. And the Pope spoke a couple of times off the cuff. He also extended through them his greetings to all detainees. But it's very interesting. He said, you've got to tell these detainees the Lord is near them. He doesn't stay outside their cells, but he's with them. He, too, is a prisoner. And this is interesting. The Pope said, the Lord is a prisoner, even today. He's a prisoner of our selfishness, our systems of many injustices. Then this is fascinating. Pope Francis said, off the cuff, he lamented the injustices of the current penal system, quote, because it's easier to punish the small fry, but the big fish swim free in the water. I suppose every listener, and that includes you and me sitting here, can think of a case of that kind of injustice and money or privilege or whatever bought freedom for somebody actually guilty of something. Thursday, another big day. We just move ahead 24 hours, and it's like, Pope Francis, do you ever sleep? And you're always writing your morning homilies, which we haven't even mentioned, but beautiful talks on very current topics every day. But Thursday's important because Pope Francis received a delegation from the Simon Wiesenthal Center, which is an international Jewish organization for the defense of human rights. And the Pope praised its work in fighting, quote his words, every form of racism, intolerance, and anti-Semitism. Also their work in preserving the memory of the Shoah and promoting mutual understanding. And then what is very interesting, obviously this Jewish organization exists to defend itself, the Jewish faith, and not let people forget the Shoah. But then the Pope said, I've repeated many times in recent weeks the Church's condemnation of all any form of anti-Semitism. And then he said, today, I would like to underline that the problem of intolerance must be faced in its entirety when any minority is persecuted and marginalized on account of its religious beliefs or ethnic origins. And then he said very specifically, I think with particular sadness of the suffering, marginalization, and real persecution experienced by many Christians throughout the world. So I thought that was very interesting of the Pope to mention the persecution against Christians in the same meeting, of course, when he is meeting with the Jewish, with the Wiesenthal Center. So I have to say, we mentioned last weekend, this weekend's going to be when we gather a week from today to speak about the upcoming events, the family cell. Oh, just how they're getting ready. I mean, St. Peter's Square, big screens. I saw one being set up in Via della Conciliazione. So another amazing event. And so far, let's hope it holds. The weather has been extraordinary. It's been what the Italians call le ottobrate romane, the Roman Octobers, where you have beautiful, beautiful warm temperatures. You maybe only put a scarf around your neck at night or something, a little shawl. But very beautiful days, some overcast, some stunning blue skies. But hopefully that will hold for the weekend when we're expecting half of the world in St. Peter's Square.
Well, thank you very much, Joan.
An amazing week, yes.
And our thanks there go to Joan Lewis, EWTN's Bureau Chief here in Rome.